You know, there's a special mojo that's felt during those moments when human beings genuinely share who they are. When you see a songwriter who deeply believes and has lived the words that they're singing, it's the kind of magic that hushes a noisy room or sends shivers down your spine. I'm here to explore just that. What is it exactly that makes that kind of magic moment happen? Greetings, folks. My name is Michael Averill, and this is the Write Songs You Love podcast. Welcome back, my friends. I've got an old guitar friend with me today. Thought I would bring along for the session. That has quite a lot of character, and I thought it would be cool to incorporate this character into this episode for many reasons. So, before I tell you a little bit more about that, I just want to, again, welcome you. Hope you've been enjoying the last few episodes where we've had guests. Last week, we had Chris Anders, and the week before that, we had Sabah Mirza. And the combination of these two and what they shared has been generating some really cool conversations in the community. And one particular comment that came up inspired me to do today's episode on a particular topic there. So how I want to just recap this last couple of weeks is there's been a lot about looking into your core values and also looking at how that can influence the music that you write, and also how and where you end up sharing the music that you write. I think Chris was a great example of that last week, and that generated a really cool comment that I want to read from Teresa. And I know Teresa is in the process of thinking about what kinds of things she's going to do for an upcoming album release that she's got coming up in about a month. Just under a month. And Chris had a really great story about how he had been slow releasing his music. And really, it was about, with 6 songs that were on his record, he explained how he released those over 2 years, just those 6 songs. And Teresa put up a comment under the episode link in the Facebook group saying, "I love his release strategy. I've been thinking about doing that for a few years. Time spent sharing and celebrating each song rather than hammering out an album and then getting on to the next one. It makes way more sense to do it this way, or the way that Chris did. I'm working on a big series of videos for my upcoming album and thinking I will stretch it out as long as I can. But I'm also itching to record more too. LOL." And this is where this episode idea came up, because I love that Teresa brought this up. And also, it's this funny place, this thing that we can get into, I think, if you're the kind of person that's writing and releasing music. There's lots of process around that, and it takes a lot of focus and energy, but at the same time, you always have your itching writing muscle that wants to create new things. And someone the other night I saw at an open mic said it best, is like, my newest song is always the song that I'm most excited to share and I want to play. I always want to just do that. The other ones have been around for a while and kind of feels like I kind of get bored of them, or, you know, there's just so much in the process of trying to get it ready to send out. So all of this is very, very interesting, and I wanted to kind of touch base on how do you balance that, or how does that work in scenarios where it doesn't feel like one is pulling away from the other, or that it might be hard to focus on, you know, sticking with what you got to do with the previous songs that you're sharing. So why don't we start there? I think just think of this as the opportunity to really expand what you have invested. This is something else that I love. What Chris talked about is investing in his music. And that word, you know, I think if we're going to write songs and record songs, that's usually the no-brainer thing that comes to us, is this idea that we're spending money to record our music, Or if you're able to record it at home, you're investing your time and resources in the equipment to do that. Money is an easy one to link into here. But when you look at investing energy into the songs themselves, like the idea and ideas behind the songs and the grouping of the songs, and how you might want to explore that with the audience that you are wanting to share it with, that's pretty exciting to look at how far you can actually take that. And that can be a very, very, very long-term thing. So say, for example, for me, and actually why I brought this guitar out today, this guitar I've had pretty much since the beginning of when I started releasing music. And this goes back to, I released my first album in 2012. But in leading up to that, when I actually found this guitar, I got this guitar. It's an old classical guitar that I found in a Salvation Army thrift store for $36. And if you could see it, maybe I'll take a picture of it today and I'll make it the episode link. But the top of it, if you can hear this, that's me pushing down on the back edge of the guitar because the top of the guitar is actually lifting. And this one string has got this crazy buzz on it right now because the bridge where the strings run over top actually snapped just recently when I was playing it. And it has this little buzz that kind of makes it sound like a sitar. Which eventually I will get fixed, but for the meantime, it's actually kind of fun. I like that sound. It has a cool resonance. But this guitar is very symbolic of a lot of things. I've actually used it as an umbrella before while taking it around. And I initially got it because I was like, oh, this would be a cool guitar to take to the beach and to play anywhere, really. And because it was so cheap, I just hadn't really had the same preciousness with it, but it's still going. I've written so many songs on this. And at the time, I was thinking, just kind of reflecting on the values work that Sabah was talking about 2 weeks ago. And if you haven't heard Sabah's interview and Chris's interview, I highly recommend going and listening to them back to back, because they're really, really, really good. The stuff that they shared is just full of nuggets. Good, good nuggets. But it was cool to think about this time because I wrote a song. One of the songs that really made me want to start releasing music had to do with values. And I kind of forgot about that. It's a song that was really important to me at the time. And it was when I was questioning a lot. I was really questioning what, like, the career I was in and the people I was hanging out with and just where I was going with my life. And then I saw some other things that were happening kind of locally in the world that just, it was kind of like a big moral crisis of mass proportion that I was trying to understand for myself. And I think at that time, well, I know songs were my main processing power. And I'm going to actually play a song for you that I wrote at this time. This is really what catalyzed the first ever recording for me and really started this chain of events that I can look back at when I released this album. It was called What's Life All About? And the song that is named after, I actually have only played a handful of times live. It was something that came up as an idea that kind of focused this whole project together. But it was just this question that I don't think I've ever really stopped asking or thinking about. And it's stretched a long time and it's had its hand in every single project I have done since then. And I actually, in the lyrics, use the word values. Like, I talk about it as Sabah did a couple of weeks ago. And so I wanted to play this for you. It's one actually sometimes I get kind of nervous to play because it has such, there's a lot of deep emotion in it for many reasons. But it felt right to bring it back, and it actually feels good to revisit it and play it. And I'll play you this song, and then I'll tell you a little bit about how this links into what we're talking about with how long a release or something can stretch. So this is this is from my very, very first record called What's Life All About? Would you disagree with policies of greed you knew weren't right? So easily we give up and retreat without a fight. Is this what life's all about? Is this what it's all about? You conceive how simple it can be to change a life. To what degree do we believe integrity is worth a dime? Is this what life's all about? Is this what it's all about? No matter what you do with your life, you have to choose your actions. And values help with what to decide. They'll even start to make you question if this is what life's all about. If this is what it's all about. You found meaning and something to believe in, and speak your mind. Cause when there's feeling something to believe in, don't let it slip by. Is this what life's all about? Is this what it's all about? Is this what life's all about? Ask yourself, is this what it's all about? There you go. Live in the studio. So that, as you can tell, is just there's just a lot of questioning going on, and there are some situations at the time that were really making me doubt, like, why we do things as humans. Like, why, how can we treat each other certain ways, and like how oftentimes money and other things can really lead us to doing some rough stuff to each other, or just the pursuit of that and all of these things. And there's a variety of situations that kind of all happened at once that I recognized at that time were in direct opposition of the values that were important to me. And thus, that actually worked its way into the song. So flash forward, what are we now? 13 years later, and doing that work with Sabah, talking about values and looking at how that has really guided so much of not just the songs that I write, but the path that I've been following, the kind of communities that I've wanted to create and join, and just linking with people who are on the same page has been my compass. And we do that, I think, for the most part, very well instinctively. But it's really, really cool to, or at least in this last couple of weeks, it's come back into my attention to look at how important it is to be conscious of these things that are very important to us. And then we can actively choose better what types of things we want to do and have a higher likelihood of it feeling amazing, or writing songs that we love, like we know we're going to love, because they're coming from such a pure and genuine place for us. So how this all kind of comes back into release strategies, I'll give you an example. So for this record, that Write Songs, What's Life All About record, based on that, and this was the question that I really had with that album, is I generally just wanted to use it as a tool to understand what people thought about life at that moment in time for them. And every single song on that, to me, felt like it was a part of that journey. Every song kind of spoke a little bit differently to what was going on for me at that time, or some things that I thought what life was all about. And I used every song once a month. I used one song a month for a year. There's 11 songs. And I released one, I made a video, and I made it kind of a puzzle. But the main thing of what I did with each song is at the end of the video, there would be a question related to the song. And I would just spend time with that one, like Chris did. Chris said, taking 2 years to release 6 songs. As you can, in the spirit of this, have a lot of conversation and invite people to participate, which not only teaches us more about the concept that we're trying to explore, it really can do some cool things, and that can turn into special events. It can turn into people participating and sharing their ideas or sharing their stories, or maybe collaborating with you in some way, or who knows? There's an endless amount of things that you can do that with, but it's kind of like spreading it out over a multi-course meal. You know, if you just have one thing at a time, you can really enjoy it and savor it for all that's there. And when that's done, in this case with the album that I did, the following month, the next song gets released and a new conversation and new things start happening. So one of the songs, for example, that is on that album is called Follow Your Feet. And it's all about, you know, that's something actually that my sister-in-law said, that's kind of a belief of hers. And why I wrote that song is because of her, is this idea that, you know, if you're ever wondering about what to do in life, if you just follow your feet, they'll guide you in the right direction. And some of you have heard the story that I've told about how I have done experiments like that for multiple days at a time, and the crazy things that have come up of just really paying attention and listening to your instincts and following your curiosity. I invited people to try that experiment at the end of that video, that end of that song, to say, hey, like, take 15 minutes or take an hour, or if you've got it, go for a full day, try this, just one day in this month, just go for a walk with no idea of where you're going, just really do it with paying attention to where your curious mind wants to go, and then send me an email about it or tell me about it. And it was so fun to see the kinds of responses that happened. And sometimes I would get together with people and do a little workshop on this, and we'd be out in like a field somewhere and people would go off and do their things. And it, again, this is like, that's like a third course or a fourth course of the meal, where you can do something really, really, really cool. And that momentum carries forward. And you can, I hope you're seeing that this is just an example of how you can stretch this stuff out. So it went for a full year of releasing a song, asking questions, and then spending the time with people in those questions and in those discussions. And it was amazing. It was still one of the top favorite experiences of releasing music for me. And some of those threads have still carried on from that first album 13 years later. I still play some of those songs. I haven't played this song for many, many, many years, but just talking about it now is making me reconnect to it and wanting to play it again and approach it with a new lens, which is very, very cool. That in its own right is kind of a neat story. How we can revisit looking back at what did we think at a certain period of time in our lives to what we are now. Like, what did we hold on to? What did we let go of? All of this feels really, really in line with the kind of stuff that I like to do. So it's not like I just released that album in one shot, you know, did a release party, said, okay, it's out there, it's done, let's go on to the next one. I'm going to record I'd Rather Walk Now and forget about it. No, that's not how it worked. I spent about 2 years, really, same as Chris, unveiling that project and just spending time with it. And it's so worth it. You learn so much by expanding on it and just being willing to look at every song that's a part of it as a very special thing to spend time with personally and with others who you might share with. So I hope this maybe is inspiring to think about how you could go back to your own work and all that amazing energy that you're pouring into it, you know, these investments of time and money and heart and soul, that how could you really expand this whole thing? How could you spread it out and dissect it really for looking at all the different kind of themes that live in there? Because there's so much. And any one song has just got lots of questions, lots of ways that you can spend time getting to know people with and inviting them into thought-provoking conversation or acts or things that you'd recommend. That's kind of what art is for. It's to help us connect and feel things and see things. And I like, as Amanda Palmer likes to say it, if it makes people feel something, it's good. It's done its job. So when you're, all of you who are building towards releasing music or just sharing it however way it looks for you, think about that. Think about how you can really spend the time, maybe how your core values could be a part of that. If you can address that in any kind of way, I guarantee it'll be that much richer. It'll be that much deeper and more meaningful of an experience for you. And I'd love to hear about it. So if you're working through any of this stuff, feel free to post some of your questions in the Write Songs You Love Facebook community, or feel free to DM me or email me. You can go to writesongsyoulove.com for the contact page, and you can send me a note. And I would just love to hear how you're working through this stuff, what you're planning, and if we can help you out at all, I'd be happy to. So that's what we got for today. For those of you who are in the middle of working on some new songs, or maybe haven't finished some songs, there is a new round of Put Pants on Your Songs starting on March 27th. That's next Wednesday. Starts at 3:30 p.m., goes 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. for 5 Wednesdays in a row. So that is happening. That is always a ton of fun. It's always amazing to see the songs that get brought in and wrapped up and finished onto the next stages. So if that is you, if that is sounding exciting, again, drop me a note if you'd like more information about joining, and I'd love to see you there. And on a last note, just wanted to celebrate that Monday this week, we had our very first Write Songs You Love member workshop. Previous guest who I'd mentioned, Sabah Mirza, came on to run a workshop with us all on these core values, about how you can go through these exercises to find them and then practice them and say them in the group and then look at how they might actually affect your songwriting. And it was so helpful and so beautiful and incredible just to watch what happened with the participants there. So thank you big time to Sabah for coming in and doing that. Thanks to all the members who showed up. This is something that I want to be doing more in this community, bringing in these amazing people who come on the podcast to then really get into some hands-on helpful stuff for you. So if that's something that you're wanting to come to, that sounds exciting, and you're down to take part in not only that, but the monthly, we have a monthly call that happens where we get on live and just chat and catch up and share wins and discuss and just, you know, connect with other songwriters. That's what the whole member spaces is about. If you want to join that, just go to the Write Songs You Love Substack page and you can
upgrade to the paid membership there. It is $80 US a year, which is awesome. That makes it super manageable to be a part of the community in a deeper way, have some more support, and then also have these kinds of workshops available to you. So super, super pumped to have that offering here now. And you said, if you want to jump in on that, you're welcome anytime. Just go over to that page and sign up. Okay. So with that, I will leave you to your brewings and inspirations, and hopefully it turns into a song you love. We'll catch you next time.